Heavenly Father, we're going to study the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11 and following. And I pray that you help us to understand the role that Jesus played on our behalf as a heavenly high priest, so as to offer himself as a sin offering for our sins, and atoning sacrifice for rescuing us from this evil age, so that now we can live for Jesus and serve him all the days of our life until we see him face to face. And I pray that you can open our eyes, that we can see the wonderful light that is written in your gospel, and draw us to follow closely to you. Lord, I pray that you provide a good job for our children and the children of our brother and sister, so that they experience your blessing and they learn from your word, and then they put into practice. They can sense your very presence in our lives. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Anthony, could you read that? I want to start in verse 1 first. Chapter 7.
This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi, who become priests, to collect a tenth from the people, that is, their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still a need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Okay. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, if perfection could have been obtained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the law was given to the people. And why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. So in here, that the reason why we need to have another priest, not in the order of Aaron, in other words, not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah. And because according to the law, only the tribe of Levi has the opportunity to be the priest, for the earthly priest, because that was written in the law by Moses. But unfortunately, the Levitical priesthood cannot help people to become perfect. And only the heavenly priesthood, not of the order of Aaron, but of the order of Melchizedek, can make people perfect. So that's why needed to be changed in verse 12. For when there is a change of the priesthood from the Levitical to the order of Melchizedek, because Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. Judah wasn't of the tribe of Levi. And because the author is afraid that the Jewish people will argue that and reject Jesus to be the heavenly priest, because then the Jewish people will say, well, of the tribe of Judah, no one has ever been able to serve in the altar. But Jesus wasn't become a priesthood in the order of Aaron. Jesus become a priesthood in the order of Melchizedek. That is clearly recorded in verse 17, chapter 7, verse 17, which is Psalm 110, verse 4. David say that, for it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So in other words, when God declare to Jesus that you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, not while he was on earth, it's after his resurrection. Because when Jesus Christ was resurrected, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 9, then he lived forever. When Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and he lived forever, then he become a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Because Melchizedek is only not just a priest for a short period of time. According to chapter 7, verse 3, he remained a priest forever. Okay? Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God. Melchizedek is like the Son of God, remain a priest forever. Aaron, he can only be an earthly priest for 40 years. And after that, someone else has to take over. But where's Jesus? When he's resurrected from the dead, when he offered himself as a sacrifice, as atoning sacrifice for our sins, as a sin's offering for our sins, then he become a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, because he was resurrected from the dead. And so that means in verse 12, for when there is a change of the priesthood in the order of Melchizedek and not in the order of Aaron, there's a change, right? In the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. Verse 13, he of whom these things are said belongs to a different tribe. because Jesus Christ of the tribe of Judah, and no one from that tribe of Judah has ever served at the altar. Okay? I want you to write it down right beside here. Not only David prophesied, David is a prophet, eh? Not only David prophesied in Psalm 110 verse 4, the prophet Zechariah also prophesied in the future, the Messiah will be king and will be priest at the same time. Zechariah chapter 6 verse 12 and all the way to 13. Zechariah chapter 6 verse 12 to 13. I want you to write right beside 13. He of whom these things are said belongs to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. That means while Jesus Christ on earth, he never go to the temple and offer any sacrifice, nor any person of the tribe of Judah has ever served in the altar. I remember there's one king, he tried to serve in the altar, and later on he has lepers, because he tried to go to the altar and offer incense, offer prayer. Remember that? And he become he has leprosy. Okay? And he was kicked out. So let me see. I want you to write it down right beside 13. You write down Zechariah chapter 6, 13 and 14. Isn't it? I'm sorry. 12 to 13, not 13, 14. Zechariah chapter 6, 12 to 13. Okay. And could you read that?
12
to 14. Yeah, 12 to 13.
Tell him this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is a man whose name is the Branch, and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two.
So, of what tribe is it? Is it of the tribe of Judah? So what did the Bible say? Zechariah chapter 6 verse 13 saying that it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty. Then he will be clothed with majesty, then he will reign as king, then he will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne too. So he will be both king and priest. And where does he come from? Verse 12, tell him, this is what the Lord Almighty say. Here is the man whose name is the Branch. The Branch sounds like Nazareth. Nazareth, okay? Jesus was brought up in the village of Nazareth. And he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he. In other words, Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13. The prophet Zechariah prophesied, it is Jesus Christ who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty as king, okay? And he will sit and rule on the throne. At the same time, he not only become king, he will sit and rule on the throne. Right beside there, you write down Psalm 110, verse 1. And then he will be priest on his throne. You write down Psalm 110, was formed. So in other words, not only King David prophesied his descendant, Jesus Christ, will reign as king on his throne, and he also will be a priest on his throne. That's exactly what Zechariah has prophesied. So, but when Jesus Christ on earth in his first coming, he never sit on the throne in the temple, right, as king, nor did he ever sit in the temple as priest, okay? But when Jesus Christ come back the second time, yes, he will. Jesus Christ of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus Christ will sit at kings, will sit as high priest. Okay? I want you to go to the Old Testament and show you which king that the king Uzziah, he is the one who has lepers, and during his time, because he win a few war, he become proud, and he went to the temple to offer incense. Uzziah. Let me see. Will you please turn to Second King, verse 15. Second King, could you read that? Chapter 15, verse 1 to 7.
In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. The Lord afflicted the king with leprosy until the day he died, and he lived in a separate house. Jotham, the king's son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. As for the other events of Azariah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? Azariah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king.
Okay, I want you to write it down right beside chapter 15, verse 5. The Lord afflicted the king with leprosy. There, I want you to write it down 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Azariah, king of Judah, his another name called Uzziah. Okay? And 2 Chronicles chapter 26, I want you to write it down 2 Kings 15. So could you read that? See what did he do? Uzziah is the king of Judah, of the tribe of Judah, right? And yet, he's a king. It's okay to be king. But when he win a few battles, he become proud. He thought, oh, I'm a king. You know, I can be a priest too. I can do whatever I like. Oh, now he did something wrong, and he get leprous. Chapter 26 give us the detailed reason why he get a leprous. So I want you to write that down in the book of Hebrew. Chapter 7, right beside 13, he of whom these things are said belongs to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar, because Uzziah tried to serve in the altar, he got leprous. Because, you know what? Because the reason why the Lord punished him so severely, because only one person of the tribe of Judah can serve as king and as high priest. And as king is forever, not like King David, only 40 years. As high priest, not for a short period of time, 40 years either. It's for king forever, and for high priest forever. There's only one person, that is Jesus Christ. Anyone want to get more or less the same thing, God gonna punish it. God would not allow it, because then you mess up how he planned that Jesus Christ to be sit on David's throne as king, not for a short period of time while Jesus Christ was on earth in his first coming. Jesus Christ never sit on a throne. He was put on a crown of thorns in his forehead, not a crown of gold. But in his second coming, he'll be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So in his first coming, he didn't sit on the throne, on David's throne, as king, nor sit on David's throne as high priest. Although Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12 and 13 has prophesied that such a person. Okay? Of course, Zechariah is after Uzziah. So then he don't point back retroactive back to Uzziah. No, he pointing forward that Jesus Christ. But in his first coming, that prophesies. That prophecy hasn't been fulfilled. 6:12 and 30 hasn't been fulfilled. But in his second coming, it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled because God wants to make it so clear that when we see him second coming, we know for sure that is Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm trying to say? Unfortunately, the Antichrist in the second half of the 7 year of tribulation, the Antichrist, the false Christ, will go to the temple, sit on the throne. He say that he's king, and he also say that he's the priest, you know. So that is the false Christ. Okay, so what's the proof that who is the real Christ, who is the false Christ? I tell you one thing. Before Jesus Christ come back the second time, you have to have an earthquake in Mount Olive. Before second coming of Jesus Christ, you have to have a darkness in the sun, in the moon, in the star for a short period of time. I don't know how long. Okay? So without that, he's not the Christ. So in the second half of seven years tribulation, there's no such thing. Okay? It's only right before Jesus Christ come. There's a darkness. In Revelation chapter 16, when the angel poured the wrath of bowl, the fifth angel. And then after the seventh angel poured that, Jesus Christ come back. You have to have a World War III after that, because they all attacked Jerusalem. When they cried out to God for help, lo and behold, Jesus Christ come back. Oh, this is the one I crucified on the cross. So that's why they cry, they weep. So I'm sorry I made a mistake. So I want to write it down. No one from that tribe has ever served at the altar, but Uzziah tried to do that. Oh man, that's why he get leprous. You know, when he get leprous, everybody pay attention. Why? Now, because of that. So you write down 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Right beside, no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. You know? Write down 2 Chronicles chapter 26. So I want you to read that. See what has he done. What makes him so proud. So in other words, when we become successful in our career, we have to be very, very careful so that we won't be proud. When you become proud, God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. Okay, I want you to And also right beside 2 Chronicles chapter 26, I want you to write it down two Bible verses. One is Hebrews chapter 7:13, because God prophesied, God mentioned it. No one from that tribe has ever served at the altar, okay? Because that guy he tried to serve it, well, you get punished, okay? Hebrews 7:13. And then you write down Zechariah 6:12-13. Okay? So please read that chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles.
Whole thing?
Yep. Listen carefully, okay?
Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father, Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his father. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gur Baal and against the Ammonites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful.
Hey, that's dangerous, eh? Read that again.
The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful.
When you become very powerful, you have to be very humble, otherwise you'll be in deep trouble. Verse 9.
Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers, as mustered by Jael, the secretary, and Maaseiah, the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500. There you go. Men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense.
So at first what? At first when he was young, 16, he became king, right? And in verse 5, he sought God during the day of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. At that time, he feared God, did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. When he seek God and humble before God, God make him powerful. But when he become powerful, he forgot God, you know. He didn't fear God, you know. That's very, very sad. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense. He think that he can be a priest on the altar of incense, you know. Only the priest enter in the holy place and burn incense on the altar of incense, okay. Verse 17.
Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord.
80 others, you know, want to try to stop him, you know what I mean? You know, if they want to stop him, if they kill one, they have to kill them all, right? So Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, follow him in. In other words, they risking their life and stopping him not to do that. Verse 18.
They confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is where the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked at him, they saw he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham his son had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. The other events of Uzziah's reign, from the beginning to the end, are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial that belonged to the kings. For people said, he had leprosy, and Jotham his son succeeded him as king.
So it's now in verse 8, saying that he has become very powerful. And then in verse 15, he became powerful. Verse 16, after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. So if we are not humble when we become powerful, it's worse to be powerful than not being powerful, right? Because if he's not being powerful, he even has lepers. He won't have to sleep in a separate house. Okay? So ask that God have mercy on each and every one of us. Yeah, and everybody say that you're good and give you tribute, and you have so much force, you know, military might and financial power, and people take pride, and his pride caused him to fall. Sad. So go back to Hebrew chapter 7. He of whom these things are said belongs to a different tribe, become the tribe of Judah, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar, because Uzziah tried to serve and he got leprous. Okay? Then we know, wow, there's only one person. Now take a look at that. Why we have to have the Second Chronicle chapter 26? Do you know why? Because Uzziah, his king is okay, because God made him powerful too. But God did not allow Uzziah to be both king and priest. Only one person has that honor. That is Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ sits on the throne in his second coming as king and as priest forever, he didn't have a leprosy. That means God ordained him to be a priest forever, not of the order of Aaron, but of the order of Melchizedek. You see what I mean? Then we can compare. Then we know, wow, that person wasn't appointed by God to be both priest and king. Only Jesus has that honor to do so. Remember that at one point in time we study in chapter 5, you cannot take that honor. Chapter 5 verse 4, no one take this honor upon himself. He must be called by God. You know what happened? Uzziah take that honor to be, you get leper. You don't get honor. You get disgrace, man. That's bad. You understand what I'm trying to say? So sometimes, you know, you say, wow, some person did something wrong. But they don't get lepers. Because not as severe as hindering. You don't pretend yourself to be Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, in other words, when the author of Hebrew saying to the Jewish people, you know what? Jesus Christ did not take the honor to be the great high priest, heavenly high priest. It is God the Father honor him to do so. It is God the Father appointed him not only to be king, also to be priest, On top of that, he's going to be king forever, priest forever. On top of that, God appointed him to be atoning sacrifice, to be sin offering. It's not that what I say, it's what God say. That's what he's trying to say, okay? Verse 14. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. Our Lord Jesus descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, in regard to the tribe of Judah, Moses said nothing about priests. That's right. Moses said, only Levi, of the tribe of Levi, can be a priest, right? It has to be, if you want to be a priest, not only to be a Levi, because Levi has three sons. Only one son can be a priest. You have to be of the descendant of, in the order of Aaron. You understand? So, very particularly, you know, Moses pointed out very clearly in regard to that tribe. Moses said nothing about priests. Not only Moses said nothing about the priests, but in Second Chronicles chapter 26, the author said something about the tribe of Judah. Someone tried to be a priest out of his own will, not become proud, not of the will of the Father, Heavenly Father. They get lepers. You know what I mean? So, I think this argument is pretty strong because they all know the Second Chronicles chapter 26 incidents, okay? The leprosy incident. You know what happened? If Uzziah didn't get a leprosy, I think the 81 will be cut down. Okay? Because he becomes so powerful, he won't scare anyone. That's very scary, you know? Yeah. But the in those days, the priests are very courageous. Yeah. So verse 14, for it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Verse 15, and what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appear. Of course, Jesus Christ appear, okay, in the order of Melchizedek, okay. Verse 16, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry. In other words, Jesus Christ wasn't an earthly priest in the order of Aaron. Jesus Christ will be and now is the heavenly priest in the order of Melchizedek. Not based upon his birth, okay? And but on the basis, Jesus Christ become a priest on the basis of the power of an indestructible life, on the basis of the power of Almighty God, and God give him the honor. So verse 17, for it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So I see that if there are two witnesses, you better believe that Jesus Christ is a priest forever. The first witness is King David in Psalm 110 verse 4. The second witness is Zechariah the prophet, chapter 6 verse 12 to 13. So these two witness, we should believe in it. Verse 18. The former regulation is set aside. What kind of former regulation? The former regulation that saying that the earthly priest has to be in the order of Aaron, has to be a Levitical priesthood. No one can be a priest. Okay, that's the former regulation. It's now set aside. Because it was weak and useless. Why it was weak? Wow, there's a lot of reason. Because the earthly priest can be a priest for only a short period of time, only 40 years. He can't bless people forever. And on top of that, when he offers sacrifice like lamb, oxen and stuff like that, it's the blood of the animal. Okay? It's not the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. Okay? And so that's why the form of regulation is set aside, because it was weak and useless. Verse 19. For the law make nothing perfect. The law make nothing perfect. So what I want you to write it down. Chapter 7, verse 19. For the law make nothing perfect. Right beside perfect, you write down 7:11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priest, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. Of course, we see that perfection could not have been attained through the law, through the Levitical priesthood. For on the basis of it, the law was given to the people. Okay? And Moses write the law according to the will of the Lord, according to the will of God, saying that only Levi can be a priest. Unfortunately, human beings are weak and useless. And so that's why the form of regulation has to be set aside, to give room for the new one to come. For the Lord make nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced, by which we draw near to God. By the living hope, by a better hope, we draw near to God. And what's the better hope? Because Jesus Christ is a better priesthood. He's a heavenly priest. He offered himself, not like the earthly priest offer the animal. So that's why when the earthly priest offer the animal, he has to offer year after year and day after day. But Jesus Christ cannot offer day after day, because then if he offer day after day, he has to die numerous times, right? He only died once. Once is enough. You do it once, if you do it so well and God accepted it, God say, wow, this sacrifice is the one I love. And so that's why one is enough. Jesus Christ don't need to die. Do you remember that the reason why Moses cannot enter into the promised land? Because he struck the rock twice. And on the second time, you only need to strike it once, and second time you command the rock to split open and water will flow out. You don't need to strike it again. But Moses struck it again. That means Moses didn't realize that if you're doing so, that means you have to crucify Jesus Christ second time. You don't crucify Jesus Christ second time, because Jesus only died once, and once for all. And he only died once. Those who offer sacrifice will be made perfect. If Aaron can cause people to become perfect, cause those people who worship God become perfect, then you don't need to offer sacrifice year after year and day after day. Why you have to keep doing it? And say, okay, this year I study great job, next year great job again, third year great job again, fourth year great job again, that means you never learn. You're still in great job. If you finish, you pass it, next year will be first year, right? University. You understand? So, if you do it well, you don't need to study. You graduate already. That's exactly what happened. Why? Jesus Christ don't have to keep offering himself as a sacrifice. Because that sacrifice is a perfect sacrifice. All you need is do it once. By that better hope, by that better sacrifice, perfect sacrifice, we draw near to God by that better hope. And we have confidence knowing that our sin has been forgiven by God. And verse 20. For it was not without an oath. Other became priest without any oath. Moses anointed Aaron to be the high priest, and then anointed his son to be high priest too. Not Aaron wasn't declared to be a high priest with an oath. No, only Jesus. Because in Psalm 110, verse 4, the Bible said, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." The Lord has never sworn to Aaron nor to his descendants, saying that you are a priest forever. The Lord Father has only said to his son, you are a priest forever, by swearing it. Okay? The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Isn't it in the Old Testament we see that some of the priests are no good? Like 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Eli, remember that their priest? And his two sons no good either. Okay? And so that's why the Lord God never sworn to the earthly priest and saying that will not change his mind that you are a priest forever, but only say it to Jesus with 20. And it was not without an oath. Other became priest without any oath. But he became, Jesus Christ became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Verse 22. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. It's not only a better covenant. In verse 19, it's a better hope. Verse 22 is a better covenant. What make it better? Because the better covenant, that means the new covenant replaces the old covenant. That's what it means by the better covenant. Okay? Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there has been many of those priests since that prevented them from continuing in office. They only last for 40 years, some die young, last for a short period of time. But because Jesus lived forever, when you write down Jesus lived forever, you write down two Bible verses, Romans 6:9, Revelation 1:18. Heather, could you read that? Romans 6:9, Revelation 1:18. Bless you.
Romans 6:9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him.
So that's why he can live forever after his resurrection. Okay? And then Revelation 1:18.
I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.
Jesus Christ said, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive after resurrection. I am alive forever and ever. In the same way, when we are resurrected from the dead, we can say exactly the same thing what Jesus has said. I am alive forever and ever. Okay, and now in here, Hebrews 7:24. Because Jesus Christ lived forever, that is after his resurrection. Okay, because Jesus Christ lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. All other people has a temporary priesthood as long as he's in that position. But Jesus Christ has a permanent priesthood. That's why Jesus Christ has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And Jesus Christ gives us the better hope. Okay? You know what? If you try to establish a good relationship with an earthly high priest, he can only last 40 years. And he can say, wow, remember that I've done you good? You better treat my children good too. He said, okay, I can treat your children good as long as I be a high priest, right? And 40 years later, he passed away. Then, you know, your descendant, your people, the people after you have to make a good relationship with the high priest again. So it's not better hope, right? But if you have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, oh, wow, you'll be all set to go, man. Because Jesus lived forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Verse 25, therefore, he is able to save completely, wholly, thoroughly those who come to God through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ always lives, never die, to intercede for them. When you come to God, through Jesus Christ, not by your own strength, not by your own righteousness, but by the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, by His atoning sacrifice, by His sins offering. Jesus Christ not only offered Himself as atoning sacrifice, He shed His blood to make a new covenant with us. On top of that, He always lived to intercede for us because He holds the position of permanent priesthood, because He lives forever. Okay? Verse 26. Such a high priest has a permanent priesthood. That's great. You know what? Do you know why in America we only want the president has only two-term president? The one term is 4 years, another term is 4 years, maximum 8 years. And you cannot be president any longer because earthly presidents are not perfect. 8 years is good enough. If it's not good, 4 years, cut him off. But because Jesus Christ has become the guarantee of a better covenant, people want Him to hold the position of permanent priesthood. Okay? And beside His sacrifice last until eternity has that kind of effect. Okay? So, such a high priest meet our need. That's good. So that's why God want him to be a permanent priesthood. And one who is holy, the earthly high priest not holy, Jesus Christ is blameless, the earthly high priest not blameless, and is pure and set apart from sinner, exalted above the heavens. How did he exalt above the heaven? Because he ascended to the highest place. I want you to write it down. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 8 all the way to verse 10.
Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who...
No, Ephesians.
Oh.
Galatians.
Whoops.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8.
This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He left captives in His train and gave gifts to men. What does He ascended mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions?
He go down to the lower earthly region. Where did He go?
To hell.
To hell. No, not hell yet. That is the place that temporary lock-up position waiting for the final judgment. And that is the place I want you to write it down in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 22. Remember that 1 Peter mentioned about Jesus Christ go down to that lower earthly region to share the gospel to those people in Noah time. At that time, they don't believe that there's a flood. In the same way, nowadays, people don't believe that there's going to be a fire from heaven. They're going to destroy the old heaven and old earth. In those days, God destroyed the earth with flood. In the future time, God going to destroy the old earth with fire. And now people, they don't believe in it. They mock at us saying that, okay? And, okay. What does He ascended mean except that He who also descended to the lower earthly region? And then, verse 10.
He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe.
So he go down to the lower earthly region and he go up to the higher than all the heaven. The heaven of heavens. Okay? The highest one. Why? In order to fill the whole universe. Then to fill the whole universe, that means he not only control. I want you to write it down. in order to control death and Hades, because he holds the key of death and Hades. 1:18 Revelation. On top of that, chapter 3, Jesus Christ, because he is holy and true, chapter 3 verse 7, Jesus Christ holds the key of David to heaven. He holds the key to hell, he holds the key to heaven. Okay? So that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heaven in order to fill the whole universe. He's the king of this universe. He controls the living and the dead. He sent people down to hell. He can send people up to heaven. And this is the one we have to fear. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. And that's why Jesus said, do not fear those who just kill you, cannot send your spirit to hell. Fear the one who can send both your spirit and soul to hell. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28.
Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell.
Why? Because he controlled the key of Hades and also the key of David. You know? So, when we fear Jesus Christ. We fear God. Don't fear any man. 10:28. That is the main reason. Okay? Now, go back. Hebrews chapter 7. And then, verse 26. Such a high priest meets our need, and one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart for sinner, exalted above the heaven. Exalted above the heaven. What do you write down? You write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Unlike the other high priest, other high priest is earthly high priest in the order of Aaron. Jesus Christ does not need to offer sacrifice day after day. Why? Because he offered once for all. That's good enough. On top of that, he's not like the earthly high priest. What the earthly high priest has done. Because when the earthly high priest offers sacrifice, first of all, he has to offer sacrifice for his own sin, because he himself is a sinner. But our Lord Jesus Christ is holy, blameless, and pure. He didn't need to offer sacrifice for his own sin, because he is sinless. He has no sin. And then, for the sins of the people, that's what the earthly high priest has done. When he offers sacrifice, he has to offer sacrifice for his own sinful nature. Okay? And then offer sin for the others. Okay? And then offer sacrifice for the sins of the other people, okay? He sacrificed for their sins once for all. Jesus Christ sacrificed for our sins once for all. So he didn't need to offer sacrifice day after day, nor did he need to offer sacrifice for his own sin. He only need to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. So that's why it's a better covenant, it's a better hope. You know what? If the earthly high priest make a mistake, did not offer sacrifice for his own sin, and then he rush into the holy place, he gets struck dead. Okay, so he can't even help you. He himself need help. Okay, but Jesus Christ is different. He's holy, blameless, and pure, set apart for sinner, exalted above the heaven. You go to the lower earthly region and go up to the higher heaven. He can reach anywhere. He's in control of anywhere also, okay? He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Verse 28. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak. The earthly high priests are weak. Why? Because the Mosaic law upon men as high priest, upon weak men as high priest, not a strong man, not a holy man, like blameless man, pure like Jesus, okay? But the law upon as high priest, men who are weak. But the old which came after the law upon the Son, who has been made perfect forever. I want you to write it down, has been made perfect forever. You write down chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. In other words, when Jesus Christ obeyed God the Father, and anyone who obeyed Jesus, Jesus Christ becomes the source of eternal salvation for all those people who obey Jesus. What I'm trying to say is, God the Father expects Jesus to obey him, but Jesus learned that obedience perfectly. And his sacrifice become a perfect sacrifice, blameless sacrifice, holy sacrifice, pure sacrifice, and you don't need to do it one after, day after day. Do it once. All other sacrifice not perfect in God's sight. If that sacrifice not perfect, cannot make those who offer sacrifice perfect. Because if I sin against God, I have to carry the oxen, give it to the high priest, and ask the high priest to offer sacrifice on my behalf. Because I'm not perfect, nor the sacrifice that I offer is perfect, is blameless. So that's why only lasts for what? One day. Next day, you sin again, you have to do it again. But because of that sacrifice so perfect, because Jesus Christ so obedient to Jesus Christ so obedient to our Heavenly Father, he become the eternal source of our salvation for those who obey Jesus. Okay? And I also want you to write down chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Hebrew chapter 2, 10, 11. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of the salvation perfect through suffering. It is God's intention to make Jesus Christ the author of their salvation, to make Jesus Christ perfect through suffering. It is God's purpose, it is God's will to make Jesus Christ perfect through suffering, and Jesus Christ willing to suffer unto death. He obeyed God, and he become perfect. When he become perfect, that's it, do it once. So, I want you to write it down, right beside chapter 7, verse 28, God appointed the Son, Jesus Christ. The Son, Jesus Christ, has been made perfect forever. Who make him perfect? He himself make himself perfect by perfect obedience. And God make him perfect, allow him to suffer, to test him, to see whether he's a perfect, sinless offering. Right? Because if you bring the sacrificial animal in front of the priest has to check it to see if it's a blind, you know, it's a lamb, you know, right? Check that, right? Touching his body to see any defect. Oh, no defect? Okay. Only lasts for one day, you know what I mean? Next day you sin again, bring another one, okay? But Jesus Christ, because of his perfect submission to God unto death, through suffering. It is God's intention to make him perfect through suffering, and he himself obey and make himself perfect. And then chapter 5. So chapter 2, chapter 5, and then chapter 7. The Son has been made perfect forever. Okay? I read it again, 7:28. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Okay? God made him perfect through suffering, and he himself become perfect. He was a son, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So in other words, the entire Bible not only tell us to have faith in Jesus and tell us to obey Jesus. When we have faith in Jesus, knowing that he is a perfect sacrifice, and we follow his pattern, obey him, carry our own cross, and follow Jesus, and we have eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that because Jesus Christ laid the example for us, Jesus Christ not only have faith in God the Father, and Jesus Christ learned obedience and from what he suffered, and he learned it so well, one makes perfect, and Jesus Christ become the source of eternal salvation for us who obey him. Thank you, God, for giving us such a fitting heavenly high priest. He really meet our need, and we don't need to keep on offering sacrifice to you, God the Father, because Jesus Christ has already sacrificed for our sins once for all when he offered himself. Thank you for that blameless, holy, and pure sacrifice that has eternal value. And thank you, Jesus, he always lives to pray for us, to intercede for us. And thank you, Jesus, for holding a permanent position as a great high priest, a heavenly one. Thank you, Jesus, for making a better covenant with us and giving us a better hope. And we know that if we learn to have faith in you and learn to obey our Lord Jesus Christ, we know for sure we'll be saved. We'll not only be saved, and we will inherit the heavenly possession too. And just like what the book of Hebrews say, it is not to angel that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. It is to us. We're going to inherit the inheritance with Abraham and with our Lord Jesus, because we're going to take possession of it. We know the old heaven and old earth will pass away, and we're going to possess the new one. And we're going to take possession of that. Lord, we give you thanks for not only give us eternal life, for also giving us a mortgage free, a place to stay, that we can be with you forever. And when we think about that, that is a very better hope. And in those days when the Israelites entered into the promised land, they still have to cultivate, and they still have to build their own house. They still have to sweat. But now, when we go to heaven, to go to a new heaven and new earth, we indeed have a better hope, because Jesus Christ has become a guarantee of a better covenant. And thank you for that. And thank you for making it clear to us. We know that perfection could not be attained through the Levitical priesthood, but we know that perfection could be attained through the permanent priesthood in the order of Melchizedek by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. And we know that we are not perfect. We know that Jesus Christ is perfect. He is perfect. And he can make us perfect too if we obey him. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So next week we talk about better promise, better promises. Now is better hope, better covenant. Oh, you know, in the book of Hebrews, the Lord not only give us good stuff, and give us better stuff, you know? It's amazing. Yep. That's good.